All right, Sunday morning, 6:07:20. We're going to do a teaching first this morning before we get into the prophet's corner. The title of this is, Are You Looking for an Out? Are you looking for an out? The Lord has been speaking to us for a few weeks now on how we view things. Today is just another occasion to help us weather the storm in our own lives and in our nation. I asked you this question this morning, are you looking for an out? What is an out? A bailout? Wanting to be anywhere but here? Always looking where the grass is greener over there? I really believe that this is not the right attitude to have, but sadly enough, it is the view of most Christians. If I was only over there, if I only lived there, if I only had a bigger house, if I only had a better car, if I only had my kids in line, if I only had my finances straight, on and on the list goes. We're going to look at Psalms 23 today. Do you ever feel like you're just out here on the rock and the Lord just left you out here? And sometimes you think, because he just left me for dead. I think a lot of people view it that way. I think a lot of people think, where is God? Why doesn't he do something? Sad but true. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, thou comfort me. What? Thou art with me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So this paints a different picture, doesn't it? The Lord is with us, even though we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It says he's with us. And he even prepares a table. Well, this table he's talking about here is like a party, a feast in the midst of your enemies. And only goodness and mercy follow us. I mean, my gosh, why would you want a bailout? God's with us. God's walking with us. He's leading the way. He's the shepherd. Mm-hmm. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And wherever you find yourself today, God is with you in it. He's with you. He lives in you. Nothing gets past him concerning you. He knows all. Does this suggest a bailout? No, it is clearly the Good Shepherd saying to you that I'm with you and we are walking through this together. Emmanuel is God with us. Right there, Emmanuel in the Strong's, the Hebrew, is God with us. And we're going to look at some scriptures here. If you ever get to feeling I'm just out here by myself, God's just abandoned me and he just left me out here in my sorry state. I don't know why he won't do something. I know people, you know, I've seen friends go to the grave because they never could grasp that. It was always out here somewhere. Or it was always, well, there's got to be another cure come up, or there's got to be another medicine we could try, or there's got to be this or that that we got to do. To no avail. Okay, Isaiah chapter 7. Most of these are in, I think there's a few in Jeremiah. I just picked Isaiah, Jeremiah, because some of the best promises I remember, church we used to go to, we did a lot of scripture songs, and so I learned a lot of word through scripture songs. And there's just a lot of really good ones in Isaiah, especially. This is Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, this the next part's even better. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Isn't that where we are today? For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. Say, in a day where things weren't good, do you know that the hellhole we live in today, you know what we're seeing happen in the world today, that this has been the history of the world? It's been this way since who you know who showed up in the garden. It's been this way. I don't care what history tells you. You can look at the history of the Bible. You can watch the nation of Israel. They stayed off their land in exile more than they were on their land. They were in slavery to somebody most of their history. Why? Because they chose the evil, not the good. The Lord is with us. We don't have to choose the evil. Evil is a mindset. Do you know that? Isaiah 40:29. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no mighty increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. God's with us. 41:10. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Chapter 41, verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Listen to this. God is telling us, I'm with you and your enemies. Your enemies, whether it be symptoms or lies or whatever it is, or just looking at what's going on in our world today, he says, they're going to be ashamed and confounded. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them. Oh, isn't that going to be a glorious day? Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing, as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Just get a picture. Jesus is with you and he's holding you with his right hand. He's walking you through the valley of the shadow of death today. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. You know why you have to not fear? Because he can't help you in fear. That's the enemy's camp. But faith, believing him, trusting him. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Speaking to your mountains here. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. So today, we have hope that these mountains, Jesus said to his disciples, speak to the mountains. Speak to the situation. Speak to the circumstances. And it will be cast into the sea. Okay, Isaiah 42:16. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. This does not speak physically blind. This is spiritually blind. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. 43:2. When you passest through the waters, I will be with thee. and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. 18 and 19. Remember ye not the former things. Quit looking back at all the hardness. Quit looking back. This is a new day. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. He can't do a new thing if you're hanging on to those old mindsets. Those old ways of thinking, and always I'm missing it, and I'm always feeling bad, I'm always guilty, and I'm always, well, did I miss the Lord? Did I do it right? Did I not do it right? Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Remember a saying I heard one time about, well, the Lord sent a lifeboat, he sent a this and he sent a that, and the people, because of their state of mind, they missed it. God was trying to help them, but they missed it. They didn't get it because they were so into what they were going through and so focused on that they couldn't see the forest for the trees. Okay, let's see. 46:4. And even to your old age, he don't just drop you when you get 65. Oh, well, that's it. You know, I promised you 65, that's it. And even to your old age, I'm he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. Here he says, I'm carrying you. The Serenity Prayer is right, isn't it? When you look down and saw there was only one set of footprints in the sand, you realize the Lord said, well, son, it wasn't your footprints, it was me. I was carrying you all the way. That's what he does. 48:17. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. If we're following him, we can't miss it. We can't be led astray. 49:15-16. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yet would I not forget thee? Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. The Lord's got his brag book with him, with a picture of you in it. 25. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. I'll take it. 52:12. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward. So he goes before us, and he is behind us, covering our backside too. Let's get out of this victim mentality. We're not victims. We've been rescued. 53:4-5. Surely hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Well, if he's carrying them, why should we be in sorrow and grief? Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. That's sin. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Matthew 8 says, were, or Peter says, were. Were, 1 Peter 2:24. By his stripes ye were healed. 54:13-14. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. The latter part of 14, for thou shalt not fear and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. I saw over the weekend, there's been a couple of shots, whether it's right or not, whether it really happened or not, or if it's just a big show. There's white people bowing down to black people. ain't going to happen. The servants of the Lord, we bow to no man but Jesus. Trying to get them to say, I'm sorry for white privilege. We've been on the plantation with them. There's a lot of black people speaking out against this. They know this is wrong. But it's just another scam, another flim-flam that the media is pushing to try to take away our rights, trying to kick us down, beat us down, keep us down. Well, it's not going to work. You can't beat a child of God down. We're seated with him in heavenly places. We're king's kids. And we bow to no man. That doesn't mean we don't humble ourselves and have an humble attitude about things and submit to authority. We do. But not this. This is tyranny. And it's a lie. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against us in judgment, we will condemn. This is our heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. We don't have to hang our head down. We've not done anything. There is not one black on this earth today that was ever a slave. And there's not one white on this earth, really, besides maybe the deep state, that has owned slaves. It's been gone a long time. It's time that narrative dies. Mm-hmm. It's time for it to go. All right, 54, 13 and 14. Wait a minute. I just read that. Mm-hmm. Okay, 58, 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear reward. I'm realizing, even in my own life, that you can do a lot of things to try to be well and do a lot of things, but Danny and I were discussing it yesterday. It is really about your attitude. It's really about if you have accepted what the Lord has said or if you have not. Because as far as he's concerned, when he went to the cross, in fact, before the foundation of the world, he did it. But at the cross, he took the stripes on our back. He took all the bad, gave us all the good. And we have to make a decision. Yes, Lord, we receive that. It's like a birthday gift. How offended would someone be if you bought them a nice gift and they rejected it? This is the gifts he gave to us. We just have to receive it and say, I believe it. And I'm going to act like I believe it. 59:1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. All right, I'm going to read 60. It's not on my list here, but it's good. Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. See, people are looking for the light today. You hear it a lot, whatever context it means. People are looking for someone that's got the answers, and that's us. Here, I'll show you how to get well. I'll show you how to come out of that bondage that you're in. You want true freedom? True freedom is not really free in the Republic so much as it is becoming born again. Because even it being under the Republic, whether it's free or not, we're free in Christ Jesus. Whom the Son has made free is free indeed. All right, Jeremiah 1:12. For I will hasten my word to perform it. You believe God's word, he will hasten to make sure it comes to pass. Jeremiah 17. 7 and 8. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he should be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. And shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Wonderful promise. Jeremiah 29:11. Everyone knows this one. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not for evil, to give you an expected end. I believe our coming into this world is blessed, and so is our leaving this world. Jeremiah 30:17. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. That's his promise, 31:16-17. He's already done it. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping, thine ears from eyes from tears. For thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. I believe it. Do you believe it today? 32:27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? You ever think about Jesus would just say, well, get up and walk? What was he doing? It's already done. Act on it and get up and walk. I'm willing to say today we could go to any hospital in this town and just walk up to people and say, get up and walk, you're well. If you could get them to believe it, they would walk out well. Oh, Jesus did all these miracles. Well, I don't know that so much was that it was their faith. It was more their faith than it was the miracles. Yes, he did miracles, but he just got people on board to believe God's word. If he could get them in agreement with what he said, now, in the Bible, it looks like everything was like this. And sometimes it was. Do you believe it? Is there anything too hard for me, the Lord says. No, there's not. 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Verse 6, behold, I will bring in health and cure, and I will cure them and reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. All right, I'm going to read to you a passage out of Daniel. God is with us today. This is Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar the king, verse 1, made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. The Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. They stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, all those instruments, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Just like these people, these white people bowing down to these black people, these thugs. Really, our whole nation, or really for as long as we can remember, the whole world has been dominated by thugs. They're just thugs. They're criminals. They're criminals. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of these instruments shall fall down and worship the golden image. Whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, and all the musical instruments, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Well, he's fixing to find out. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. That's neither here nor there. He will. But regardless, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. He commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. So I was thinking about it this week with all the bullying and all the stuff with all the riots. I said, Lord, just surround the perimeter with your angels and let these thugs see these angels. Well, he did send some angels. They were called the Hell's Angels, and they scared them out of their town. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how the Lord works. Yeah. But God is with us. Was he with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Yes, he was. He went into the fire with them. Mm-hmm. He didn't stand outside while they went into the fire and suffered. He showed up in the midst of the fire with them. He's still in the getting into the midst of the fire with us type of God. He's our shepherd. He's leading the way. Do we trust him? Do we trust his leadership today? Daniel 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, and neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. In fact, this was a coup. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of the king, for thee, O king, He should be cast in the den of lions, always conniving, always looking for a way to trap the one God chose. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He didn't go hide in his house. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth thee not, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Evidently, there was a lot more. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar, you know, even the smell of smoke wasn't even on these guys. So these guys, this was common knowledge, the stuff that God did for them. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. The king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. So the Lord was with him in the lion's den. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel. They cast him into the lion's den. Them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery over them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Before they even hit the bottom, the lions had them broken in pieces. Are we serving the same God that they did? We even have a better covenant than they ever had. Okay, look at a few scriptures in the New Testament. Matthew 8. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? There's three sets of scriptures concerning this passage right here. This is Matthew 8, 23 through 27, Mark 4, 35 through 41, and Luke 8, 22 through 25, same account. Three witnesses. He is with us. Okay, Matthew 14, 22. I'd say if he's saying it three times there, he means it. Matthew 14:22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So even when we're trying our best and we're doing our best and we fail, he is there immediately to keep us from drowning. If we're going down for the count, he's with us. He'll pull us up out of it. He saved me in many a moons. Acts 12. God's with us today. He's with us. He doesn't go on vacation. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. When Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands, and the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. He saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And that's glorious, but here's the sad part. When Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and had delivered me out of the hand of the Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, which that's Jesus' mother. Remember, John has a new mother. Mary has a new son, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then say they, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw and they were astonished. I'm thinking, you were praying for his deliverance? Why would you be astonished? Why would you not believe? Why would we not believe when we send the angels that they're doing exactly what we asked them to do in Jesus' name? And they saw angels a whole lot more back then than we do today. Maybe that's why. Okay, Acts 16. We know all these stories. Sometimes we just need to be reminded. Get me another drink. God's with us. He's on the job. When we're born, we're assigned angels that take care of us. Y'all know that? Mm-hmm. I have sensed their presence. I have felt their presence on many occasions. I've never seen them that I know of, except I was at the grocery store Wednesday, and they put these little cardboard things full of stuff, and they're in the way, and I turned my basket and knocked one over, and there had to be 100 packages of gift cards in it. And before I know it, this young man, he was a fireman, had a mask on. Before I know it, he's bending down, helping me pick everything up. And I thought, well, Lord, was that you or was that an angel? Because it was like an angel, because, man, I said, well, I feel embarrassed. I don't have a kid to blame it on. He said, well, just blame it on me. I thought, how sweet. How refreshing. To not always be the one going around blessing, but someone blesses you. You know how it does? Once in a while, somebody will do something for you, and it just blesses you so much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Acts 16. God's with us. It came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel oppressed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same following Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. When her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. They had a deep state back then too. Same agenda. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. Was God with them? We don't need bailouts. God is with us, and we can depend on him to help us when we need it. Psalms 91. 1,000 may fall on my side, 10,000 in my right hand won't come near me. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. What short circuits that? Wrong words. Wrong actions. All right. Y'all believe it today? God is with us. He's helping us. He won't leave us. He won't forsake us. In fact, Jesus said, I'll be with you till the end.